Charity doth not behave itself unseemly. Love is respectful. We continue our revival, revival of love here at Rhinesburg. And Jesus commanded us to love one another and gave us that choice to view our faith through love or through some other lens. But he opens the opportunity for us to view through love and challenges us that way, which was a contradiction back then, and it is today too, because everybody has all kinds of other lenses that they would prefer to view faith through. But this is the one that Christ has given us. And so with this, we have been exploring 1 Corinthians 13, and as Paul dissects what it means to love in the way that Christ was talking about, agape love, to love as Christ loved us. And so the Bible teaches us all about that, and one aspect of that is respect. If it's unseemly, that is, if it's disrespectful or imposing, then it isn't love. And if it isn't love, then it isn't Christ. Let's sing our little theme verse from Revive Us Again.
Revive us again, fill each heart with thy love. May each soul be rekindled with fire from above. Hallelujah, thine glory. Hallelujah, amen. Hallelujah, thine glory. Revive us again.
Amen. So, this kind of brings out that the respectful side of love, or the part that where we're not just going around being disrespectful and imposing on people, but even though at the same time we're supposed to be taking our place and challenging, and also it's a little bit of something to work with the balance on. But what this brings out is that love is considerate of what other people are doing and what their needs are. It's accommodating, so it's hospitable, as Peter wrote, to use hospitality to one another without grudging. We want to try to be helpful and to make space for each other, even for those that have opposing viewpoints on anything or different ways of living out their faith, yet we might still, you know, be held to our convictions and still take our position and live out our faith as we see fit also. So there's always going to be a little bit of a tension there, isn't there? If we're going to be respectful to other people, even those that sometimes are not respectful to us, but even if they are, there's just going to be a tension in all of that, because we're going to all have different points of view and different ways of living out things, different places in our spiritual experience that bring us to where we are. So, you know, sometimes we might feel that somebody else will come to our point of view as they mature in their spirituality, but then again, they might think the same of us. So, you know, there's always going to be a tension there, but in the midst of it, we're invited in to have a hospitable view of other people and to help and to be a support and strength where we can. My help cometh from the Lord, which made heaven and earth. And helping is a spiritual gift that Paul had just been talking about in 1 Corinthians 12, right before this chapter that we're studying. And it's really the purpose of prayer. As James wrote, the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. And a part of that consideration of others is our forgiveness. As God has forgiven us in Christ, so we extend that same forgiveness to each other and to the people around us. And it's unmeasured, undeserved. When we look at the example of Christ, we see him forgiving people even while they were torturing him to death on Calvary. He didn't wait for them to recognize the error of their way and come and apologize and ask him for forgiveness. He extended, he said, Father, forgive them. They don't even know what they're doing. And that's how our forgiveness needs to be. It needs to be what we extend out to those that don't even know that they're doing something wrong. But extend that out and be forgiving of others as Christ is forgiving of us. And thank the Lord, He is accepting and forgiving of us even when we don't know what we're doing. And so according to the grace that we have received from Him and the love that we have accepted from Him, then we extend that to others. There was a woman that Jesus respected. She washed His feet with her tears and dried them with her hair at Simon the Pharisee's house. And He gave this little parable of forgiveness. And Simon said that if Jesus knew what kind of person this woman was, then He wouldn't even be letting her get near to Him. And so, but Jesus said to him, you know, this person here, she has loved much because she has been forgiven much. And He had respect for her and where she was at that time. And Jesus told a parable about that creditor who forgave two debtors. He told several along those lines there using credit and debt as an example. But this one here, one owed about like $500 and the other one owed about $50. And He forgave both of them. And Jesus said, so which one of these debtors would love the creditor the most? And everybody agreed that it would be the one that was forgiven the most. And that's kind of what Jesus was saying about this lady. Wherefore I say unto thee, her sins, which are many, are forgiven. For she loved much, but to whom little is forgiven, the same loveth little. And one aspect of this consideration that we have for one another in love is that is discretion, and being discreet, that is being careful and reasonable, being tactful. As Matthew Henry wrote about in his commentary, he said, love does nothing out of place or time. We do it, we consider it, you know, there might be something need to be said or done, but it might not need to be said or done now. It might not need to be said or done later. And out of love, that we do that. And one big example that we're all familiar with is criticizing somebody in front of everybody or off to the side to have that conversation. And so that's kind of an easy example there. Is that there? And that applies really to everything that we do, that we would think about how it's going to affect the person that we're talking to or dealing with. Even if we're right, we could still be wrong. In how we're handling something. And it's thoughtful, it's gracious. Love is discerning. That's one of the spiritual gifts also, of discernment, that it's interested in and looks into the matter and tries to kind of pull it apart a little bit and make sure that we understand everything about it going forward with any kind of decisions. And so love is polite. It's courteous, it's well-behaved, and John Wesley notes that it does nothing, that does not behave indecently, it is not rude or willingly offensive to any, renders to all their due, suitable to time, person, and all other circumstances. That's kind of like what Matthew Henry was writing about there, too, is that that the way we go about engaging with each other, with the world, is in a way that is not rude. And so a lot of times, people will feel like they're being persecuted because of what they believe or what their stand is or what their position is on something, when that's not it at all. They're being persecuted because they're being rude and obnoxious in the way that they're taking that position. And so what we're saying, what he's saying to us here is that whatever it is that we're doing, if it's love, then it's not going to be presented that way. It's going to be in a way that is respectful and well-mannered. Not imposing on others and trying to take anything from them, but offering good to all. And minding its own business without taking upon it to mend or censure or despise the conduct of others. That's another thing that Matthew Henry said about it. And when we think about Paul on Mars Hills, I bring that up a lot of times as an example, because when Paul was on Mars Hill, I can't say that there's anybody Christian in the whole world ever that was more of a Christian than Paul, can you? I mean, he was as much of a Christian, as strong a believer, and as a witness and a missionary and an advocate for Christianity as anybody that ever lived. And yet, there he was on Mars Hill, respectful of the people who were there from all different other kinds of walks of life, all different other cultures and lifestyles and belief systems and philosophies, anything that you can name about a person, any difference that you could find, they were there. And their altars were there, and their temples were there, and he was there. And with respect, he did not condemn them or disrespect anything that they were about. Instead, he added his own. He added Christ, and he brought Christ and the light of Christ into their lives. And, you know, a lot of them disrespected him for it, and laughed him to scorn. He, you know, same people at other times stoned him and threw him out and everything else. But he didn't disrespect them. He honored them and accepted who they were, and then tried to bring the light and the truth to them. And because of that, that became one of the strongest places where Christianity grew in all of history. And so our love is to be friendly, welcoming, and warm-hearted, neighborly. In addition to the Sermon on the Mount, where Christ said, love your enemies, Paul quoted King Solomon in saying, if thy enemy be hungry, give him bread to eat. If he be thirsty, give him water to drink. Put this little adage. For thou shalt heap coals of fire upon his head, and the Lord shall reward thee. And so this is kind of a neat thing to think about, really, is that, you know, we're invited even to those, as you know, Jesus said, love your enemy, pray for those that are persecuting you. Go back to the cross again and see him doing that in his own example. And that that we can be confident that the little part about the coals on the head there, you know, it's kind of a little thing there that helps us to see that if through that love, people will recognize their own faults. But like if we don't love them, if we do the opposite of what everybody else does, then you know, people get defensive about their position and fight back, you know, or resist. But when we are doing like the wisdom of Solomon, or the wisdom of Paul, or the wisdom of Jesus, and we love them instead, then, you know, for the moment they might be smiling, but as time goes by, and they recognize, and that brings about the change in their lives. So if our neighbors, our friends, our relatives around us, and who is our neighbor? Jesus gave Good Samaritan parable to tell us who that was. And then we're all familiar with this parable of the Good Samaritan, but one thing that we'd like to highlight this morning is that the Good Samaritan respected someone of a different faith and a different culture. He stopped and helped that person, and but gave whatever he needed to help this person. That, you know, if they were talking about religion, they would have got a big argument about that. If they were talking about, you know, just about anything, you know, they would not have gotten along about that. They would not have agreed about much. But he respected him nonetheless and helped him in his way. And that's what Christ invites us to do with our faith. So it's conciliatory, it's bringing reconciliation to people. Love is calm and disarming, it's peaceful. Here's something else that Paul wrote to the Romans. Let love be without dissimulation. Abhor that which is evil, cleave to that which is good. Be kindly affectioned one to another with brotherly love, in honor, preferring one another, not slothful in business, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord, rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing, instant in prayer, distributing to the necessity of saints, given to hospitality. Bless them which persecute you. Bless and curse not. Rejoice with them that do rejoice, and weep with them that weep. Be of the same mind toward one another. Mind not high things, but condescend to men of low estate. Be not wise in your own conceits. Recompense no man evil for evil. Provide things honest in the sight of all men. If it be possible, as much as lieth within you, live peaceably with all men. Dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine, saith the Lord, I will repay. Therefore, if thine enemy be hungry, feed him. If he thirst, give him drink. For in so doing, thou shalt heap coals of fire on his head. Be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good. Love is appreciative. We're aware and mindful, receptive and informed of the good things that are coming our way, and we appreciate that. We're responsive to other people and compassionate as Christ was compassionate. The disciples one time were with Jesus and they went to this town. They rejected everything that Christ was telling them, things like this that he was telling them. And so then his disciples said, well, you want us to call down balls of fire on the town, you know, and this is destroy the whole place? And Jesus said, you don't understand what we're about. We're not here to do that. You know, we're not here to condemn those that don't follow or believe what we're telling them. We're here to save them, to help them come to that understanding. So, you know, people will maybe reject the gospel at first, as, truth be told, almost everybody has done in some way in our lives, and at least if not the whole gospel. Look at your life, you know, even some of the things we've talked about this morning or these other things we've talked about, talking about love, and you might find some things in that that you even still might kind of reject and kind of resist and push back on, because this isn't really natural for us to love as Christ has loved. And so what's natural is for us to push back on that and to resist and say, well, I have the right to be mad, or I have the right to, you know, fight this, or I have the right to, you know, not be so respectful and all like that. Yes, you do. But Christ invites us to be like him and to forego that right for something better. That is the conversion of that other person and their eternal soul, as well as our own joy and happiness in this life. We have the right to be sad and angry and cynical and upset and mad and all those things. But Christ invites us to come up here, sit with him in the heavenlies. And as we continue through these characteristics of the love that he's talking about, we see that just more clearly all the time, that we have the right for all of those things, but we also have the right to lay those aside and live in the heaven of love. And so Christ was compassionate, and it was an active and well thought out compassion. We're invited to be grateful, to be pleased, to be thankful, to be tolerant, which is really one of the big aspects of forgiveness. And we like to think of it in just the things of saying, well, that's okay. But it's not really that, but it's more in terms that, you know, like a machine or something, a vehicle or a machine that you can operate and you can make a lot of mistakes, but it won't, you know, blow up in your face over it. It will, you know, like a vehicle that you can make some mistakes while you're driving, as opposed to one that has no tolerance for any mistakes, and that, you know, you'll be in trouble if you just barely do something wrong in that. That's the kind of tolerance that Christ invites us to, as people that are grateful for each other, and we accept one another with their mistakes, their failures, and their shortcomings. We can absorb some of that. You know, we can take that, can't we? If we love somebody, we can put up with, just, you know, I think about all the things that maybe you all put up with me, or, you know, people put up with us as people who love us. We're glad that they can put up with some of those things, and that they are tolerant like that. And so that's the same kind of tolerance we extend to others. Same thing that Christ does. Just think of all the things that you know, if Christ wanted to be real picky about any one of us, about our lives and our thinking and our talking and our actions and even more our inactions, our lack of ability or lack of knowledge, you name it, anything going on in us, he could have a lot of points to bring up, couldn't he? So we hope he doesn't bring them up, you know. And so that's why, you know, when we think about judgment day or something, that becomes a scary thought to think about somebody picking through every element of our lives. And so thank God for forgiveness and tolerance and acceptance that he has of us. That's what he invites us to extend to each other, to the world around us. And even those that don't even believe in what we're doing, or they're in a different denomination or a different religion than ours or something, because Jesus had some examples of that too with his disciples, who, well, there's one couple of times that people were casting out devils in the name of Christ, but they weren't a part of that group of Christians. And they said, well, we told him to quit because he wasn't a part of our group, you know, and our church or whatever. And Jesus said, well, don't do that, because whoever is trying to do good in my name, he's a part of what we're doing, even if they, you know, not involved in everything that we're doing, doesn't agree with everything, still, people that are trying to do the work of Christ, they're a part of what Christ is about, and we can work together with that. I'd like to share this as our invitation from 1 Peter chapter 2. But you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, peculiar people, that you should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light, which in times past were not a people, but now are the people of God, which had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. Dearly beloved, I beseech you as strangers and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lusts which war against the soul, having your conversation honest among the Gentiles, that whereas they speak against you as evildoers, they may by your good works which they shall behold glorify God in the day of visitation. Submit yourselves to every ordinance of man for the Lord's sake, whether it be to the king as supreme or to governors, as unto them that are sent by him for the punishment of evildoers and for the praise of them that do well. For so it is the will of God that with well-doing you may put to silence the ignorance of foolish men, as free and not using your liberty as a cloak of maliciousness, but as the servants of God. Honor all men, love your brotherhood, fear God, honor the king. So we're invited to serve in this royal priesthood, to serve the world around us, to bridge the gap for those who have yet to enter into a saving relationship with Christ. Demonstrate the respectful love that Christ has for all people. Love calls us to have respect for one another, for those whose faith, heritage, and belief and practices are different than ours, for those in authority, government, religious leaders. All people, honor all men, Peter wrote. This is the will of God. We think of ourselves as strangers and pilgrims in this world on our way to our real homeland. Peter wrote that our respect for others silences their ignorance, and that respect is a sign of our own independence as free, not using your liberty for a cloak of maliciousness, but as the servants of God. In the name of Jesus. Amen.